and P Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often.
The Colts possibly have, at this point, a good opportunity for someone trying to trade up and get these other quarterbacks. Sam Darnold goes three, pretty much expected there. Denzel Ward made it almost feel real, didn't it, boys? Almost. We almost had a piece at Bradley Chubb. It almost came down to that. But the Denver Broncos pick him up at five. And then Chris Ballard and the Colts literally, guys, run that card up to wherever the hell they run it. And the Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson at number six, guard from Notre Dame. Andrew, instant reaction.
I definitely yelled. I was very happy.
Screams of pain?
I screamed, actually. I'm just going to go ahead and say I screamed. And it's been a few years since I've been able to yell at a draft pick. In a good way, not a bad way.
I was going to say, I can remember when we yelled about Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, that's an ugly one. Can we forget about that one in Colts history, please? But no, and Nelson, it's perfect. You know, you get ourselves a left guard for the next 10 years, protect Luck. Protecting Luck, as we've seen, is the most important thing, you know, for this franchise. So getting a guy like that is just instrumental for this offense. You know, it's going to help kickstart this offense again. It'll get the running game going again. It'll protect Luck. We'll actually not get sacked on every third down. So that was my instant reaction. It was just, wow, we finally got ourselves a great player.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive. I was one of those guys that was constantly on the fence about Nelson. It just continually made me feel like I didn't know if I'd want to trade back. I did want to trade back. Hell, I wrote it, I think, probably four times on Twitter. I wanted to trade back. I wanted to see what they get. But obviously, the Bills weren't biting, at least for what the Colts were wanting to get out of it. And I commend Chris Ballard for that. Steven, we talked about this the other night. We talked about it several times, actually. What is your thoughts on that? Do you think that who was it? The Bucks ended up trading back with them, right? So with what the Bucks got, I don't think that was enough for what Chris Ballard needed to be blown away.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. I think we had this discussion during the draft actually on Twitter that we talked about the picks that Ballard was definitely looking for two round one picks, and that was pretty clear because Tampa Bay, realistically, Buffalo probably offered that same deal to the Colts, saying you can have 12, 53, 56, move up. To me, that's not worth it,
right?
To come off of a player that they had in their top three. And so, you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, you could pick up those extra two picks, but at what cost? You would have lost out on some really good players there, and you would have certainly lost out on Quentin Nelson. Which seemingly was their target, one of their three targets there at the beginning, there at pick six.
What do you think, Chris? Were you excited about the pick, or did you think that the Colts might want to go a different way?
Well, I was excited about the pick in as much as you can be excited about picking a guard. It's not the sexiest pick, and it's one of those that certainly you don't look at and just you're not really getting excited about what he can do so much as what he can allow other people on the team to do. So that's really, I guess, I don't know. It's hard to get, you know, too terribly excited about it. And I'm excited about what he has to offer. I'm really going to be excited to watch him pancake a couple guys, hopefully.
Taven Bryan.
But yeah, Taven Bryan. I don't know. It's one of those where, you know, it's the right pick, but there's the part of me that just really wanted to see a defensive difference maker. That's a little bit disappointed. And when I say that, I don't mean that I think they made the wrong move. It's just that, you know, it's not as satisfying. Maybe it's kind of like the Ryan Kelly pick. That was the right pick. And he was a great addition to the line. And I know that it was the right pick, but it was still, you know, not the sexy pick. And
this is what we call the salad pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know it's good.
It is good.
You know it's good for you.
People love salad.
It's not the ice cream sundae that you really wanted, but it's probably for the best.
Yeah. I like I like the fact that we got a guy. I mean, because we talked about him. We kind of gushed over him the other night, Steven, you and I. And Quentin is one of those guys that you know is going to be more or less, I mean, just for as plain as you can describe him, he's an ass kicker in every, you know, form of the word. Run blocking, pass protection, awareness. I mean, the guy is what he is. Our Chris Shepard wrote a great write-up on him, scouting report on him, and our draft guide, and I thought he did a good job with him. He was our overall best player in the draft guide, and the Colts got him, okay? I mean, that was largely our opinions as far as where our grades kind of came down, and I think that there was a lot of national analysts and just about anywhere else that would agree with that. I mean, I think that Quentin Nelson definitely proved that he was worth his weight. And the thing that we get into still is we get into this positional value type discussion. And it's a valid discussion. It always seems to be. And it's an interesting and fun one to have. But at the end of the day, the Colts, and I kind of was going through all the 2012 to 2016 things with Grigson's draft processes. I believe he drafted – I knew he drafted several offensive linemen, but he drafted 10, okay, over between 2012 2016. Four of those – were drafted, I believe, in the first three rounds, and only one was a first-round offensive lineman. So Ballard gets off to a start right away, gets that first-round lineman under his belt, so to speak, and really kind of sets the tone for the draft. I think that that's what this does. You know, last year he set the tone kind of with Malik Hooker getting that great value at 15, and now he kind of turns it around and gets this just kind of meat and potatoes pick at number six. I mean, I think it's a really – a diverse way for him to go about his first couple years into the draft. Andrew, what I mean, do we expect something outlandish tomorrow, you know, with what's left on the board? And we'll go kind of through that board here in a little bit. Or do you expect him to kind of keep the same approach to the second round and just really take in those strong, solid picks each time they come to him?
You know what? There's a lot of value out there. And if he wants to continue with that value, I mean, he can go about six different directions. If he just went all offense in the second round, that wouldn't be a bad thing, mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't be upset. If he went all defense, it wouldn't be a bad thing. If he went a little mix of both, fine. But there is a ton of value on both sides of the ball. So he can afford to, you know, go all offense or all defense. I mean, I'm looking at players right now. On offense, you got Anthony Miller. You got Connor Williams, you got Geis, you got, some receivers, other receivers, Cortland Sutton, you got Christian Kirk, you have Chubb even there. So you got a ton of offensive guys. Then on defense, again, if you want to go defense, you got Landry, who's probably, if you had to pick one guy, I dreamed of falling to 37 or 36, It would be Landry. Mm-hmm. And then, again, a couple other guys, Josh Jackson, bit of a raw guy, but good, but again, the value is there.
Right.
The fact that there was five quarterbacks that went in the first round means that there's going to be some guys that are going to fall out of that first round, some quality players like Landry, who money would expect to be a first-round pick. Some thought he'd be a top 10 pick.
Right.
Hell, I thought he'd be a top 10 pick.
Yep.
So the fact that he's there at the top of the second round is phenomenal.
Yeah. And then another guy like Maurice Hurst is a guy that I think that people kind of questioned, you know, whether his health was an issue after the combine. Point. He's still there. I mean, we've got there are a lot of guys there, and there's, I mean, it's kind of like you said, Andrew, it's kind of a what do you want to do with this? Because the Colts have two picks right there in the first five picks of the second round. So they've got that. They've got the 17th pick in the second round. Is that right? That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
So they've got plenty to work with here in the second round, and like I said, we've got Maurice Hurst on the board. They've got corners. The real surprise that came off the board was Rashad Penny at 27 to the Seahawks. I think the real what the hell just happened, you know.
Blake probably liked that one right there.
Yeah, but he should. I love Rashad Penny. I think all of us do. But did
I linked him in the third round?
Yeah, that's definitely not something that you expected to happen, right? And I wouldn't even say third round. I would have guessed him possibly to be a mid second round guy. That wouldn't have surprised me. Back into the first round. That takes me back a little bit. Chris, who are the guys that you're wanting to take a look at here as the Colts get into the second round? Picks 36 and 37 coming up. I mean, this is just it's there. Harold Landry, Maurice Hurst, my boy Sam Hubbard. I think the way that the board's going right now, I think he could either possibly be the first guy off the board, or he could be like in the middle of the.
Hubbard's a great guy to go after too. Yeah. Great value too.
I loved what he brought to the thing, but Harold Landry's still there. Now it wasn't so much that Landry was kind of falling down a little bit. It was more to me, at least, that we ended up seeing Marcus Davenport go in the middle of the first round. That kind of surprised me. There was some health issues apparently with Landry, knee and back, that they've been reporting, you know, for the past what, 45 minutes as kind of an explanation as to why he's fallen. Does that concern any of you?
Doesn't concern me. Overall, I was all for them, you know, trading away like a fourth round or fifth round pick to get in the back end of the first round to take him. But it looks like they made a smart move. Like when you look at the teams that are picking, you've got Cleveland and New York Giants that are picking at 33, 34, and 35. So you look at those guys and you kind of feel like they're probably not going to go defense. Like I feel like Cleveland's probably going to take a tackle in there because they lost Joe Thomas and they need to, you know, bring up that offensive line. And the Giants, Gettleman's already talked about how he wants his road grader, so he wants an offensive guard and somebody to make lanes for him. So who knows? The Colts could have two great options there at 36, 37 that are both defensive, or they could have Darius Geis there. Like, that blows my mind that he could be there. You know, there's literally there's four, like the Colts are the fourth and fifth pick in this round. And there's like five, six guys that I did not think would be available there. So
for sure.
So give me, Chris, where do you want to go with this? Where do you want the Colts to go with this next line of picks? Is there any certain angle that you hope that Chris Ballard will take, or is it just that you're hoping that he kind of sticks to his own status quo?
Well, yeah, I definitely want him to still stick with what players he's got graded the highest, but I think Harold Landry would be my pick if he's still there when they're picking. He would be my pick, and I probably would go Landry and Geis back to back in those if I was Chris Ballard and getting to just take my picks there, because then you're getting a few people have argued, I don't think correctly, but a few people have argued he was the best back in the class. Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty clear that was Barkley, but I mean, he was competitive enough and good enough that discussion wasn't completely absurd. So, very good running back and a guy who has the potential, if he heals well from his, you know, ankle injury that he played on last season, to maybe return to the kind of production that he had, the previous year and just be this. I mean, you could end up getting the best guard and a standout pass rusher, both in the same class, and how great would that be? I mean, we'd walk away thinking that Chris Ballard is some sort of evil genius, that he just managed to manipulate this all in his favor and get both, you know, the best of both worlds. So, and then, you know, there are still guys like, you know, I wouldn't even be upset. I think we talked about this in our Slack chat earlier. If Will Hernandez was on the board and he decided he was going to grab another guard and just beef up that offensive line, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I think as long as he is picking a quality player and he's not reaching for somebody, and since he's not, you know, a member of the Saints or anything, I think that'll probably be safe. Or the Steelers for that matter, who made a terrible pick. As long as he's not, affiliated with, you know, with them, I think we're good. He seems like he knows what's going on. So
Andrew, let me ask you this. The Colts didn't get that inside linebacker then because we were talking about Roquan. We've always talked about Tremaine Edmonds. We've talked about a bunch of these guys. As of right now, and I'm going by the NFL's login as far as how they've got them graded out. Right now they've got Tigray Scales as the highest rated inside linebacker left on the board. They've guys like Micah Kizer, Josie Jewell, Jannard Avery. There's some options there, but it seems way too early to be even going after those guys yet. It seems to be such a massive need for the Colts right now. Is that something you can't, what's the word? You can't crazy pick. You can't just go out and grab a position just because you need the position. You can't get them too high and go crazy with that. But, you know, Landry, he's there, like we said, as far as on the edge. They've got, you know, Kamiko Touré. He's another guy that's possible there. They've got Lorenzo Carter rated too high, but Uchenna Nwosu is another guy. Josh Sweat. So there's some other guys there that can create some pressure. But as far as getting in, as far as linebacking core, where the Colts are desperate for some help, that doesn't seem like it's the right time to go that route.
You know what? I was kind of talking about before the options they have. If they hit their needs with those first two picks in the second round, they can afford to do a lot more with that third pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they can trade out. If they feel they want to go after a guy like Josie Jewell, but they don't want to take him at 37 or even 49, they can trade back and get more picks. I don't think they're going to go day two without getting an inside linebacker. I can't see them not at least getting one of those guys. I like Josie. I think Malik Jefferson could be a really good strong side guy. Scales is good. Nothing special, but he's a good player. But I think you're right. I don't think they go after an inside linebacker just based on value. They can reach and take one, but I don't think they go based on value with an inside linebacker 36 or 37.
Yeah,
I think it makes more sense that they use it at the 49 pick, or they trade back and do something like that, because, yeah, it's just the value's not there. Right. I would totally rather see a guy like Will Hernandez be taken at 36. Now we got ourselves two stud guards, mm-hmm, with Kelly.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I'd rather just take the value instead of the reach. You know what? Like I said earlier, like, if you want to just go all offense, fine. Let's just fix one part. There's so many holes on the team, and you can essentially draft. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling someone today, like, with the exception of quarterback and maybe safety, you could draft any position on the Colts and no one would say anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you can go any different direction with this thing. So do they have to address inside linebacker? Yes. Is it a pressing need that they have to do it in the 36th or 37th pick? Probably not. But, you know, I like Malik Jefferson. I like Josie Jewell. I think those are two really good options. If they took him in the second round, I wouldn't be super upset. I just want to see him take value. Like, if they went with Hernandez and Landry at 36, 37, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can.
And then again, like, and after they nail those two value picks, and now you can afford to maybe reach a little more with 49, right? So now it gives you a little more leeway with those other picks. Mm-hmm. Now you fixed your offensive line, you fixed maybe an edge defender. It gives you a little more leeway to reach for other positions. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I have to say. Steven, we got right now, as far as what's left on the board, as far as who the big guns are still left here overall. Landry at 6. Well, their grades don't matter. Darius Geis, Will Hernandez, Justin Reed, James Daniels, Ronald Jones, Josh Jackson. Then see, we get into these secondary here. You got Jackson Carlton Davis, Maurice Hurst. He's a little further down than I think that most of us would like. But there's also Isaiah Oliver there. What about Colts going secondary and early in the second round here? Is that something that you think would make sense? The back-to-back pick thing is really going to work, in my opinion, in the Colts' favor. I think the Colts can really kind of do something with that. Whichever pick they want, it doesn't make a difference. They can just trade one of them if they feel like moving back four or five slots and grab another guy, get maybe a third or a fourth round pick in return, something to get an additional pick in this draft. But the Colts really have a really fun setup to the second round, I think. I think that the Colts are really set up to do some damage. And kind of like, you know, what Andrew said, you know, do they just fix one thing, man? Or do they go out and be like, no, we need you and you're good. We're going to put you here. You know what I mean? This isn't something where they definitely have to take one approach or the other.
Well, the good part about this is that regardless of what position that they go after, as Andrew said, and I think Chris hit on this too, is there's a lot of holes on this roster. And so the important thing is that you're filling holes, and there's a lot of good players still available that fill a need. Mm-hmm. And so only are you taking the best player available, you're taking the best player available at a position of need. Mm-hmm. And so it really does fill a lot of things. So I could definitely see them taking a secondary, either 36 or 37, for example, an Isaiah Oliver or a Josh Jackson. I think those are the two primary options you'd probably look at there. at 36, 37. If you wait until 49, then Isaiah Oliver might still be there. He could not. At that point, you're probably looking at somebody more like a Carlton Davis at 49. You could also see him go Justin Reed. You know, safety is a little, you know, I'm not a big fan of taking safeties.
Me either.
Right now, because I'd like to see how they fare with Clayton Gathers, Gathers and Malik Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, it's always good to have depth of players. And if Justin Reed's the best player available, it seems like Ballard's been pretty consistent in sticking to that mantra is that's his board. All right, that's it. All right, peel it off. Turn it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see him taking secondary. I think that, you know, if the combination of Landry or Hurst is there at 36 and 37, like for me, that's a dream scenario.
Right.
Like I thought Landry was a top 15 pick based off of his film, not from this past year, but the year before that when he was healthy. He was, you know, I want to say he was Matt Miller's top prospect coming into last season. And based off that previous film, and then Maurice Hurst, like I did the defensive line scouting for the draft guide, and Hurst is one of my favorite players to watch in that even though he was played out of position, I think that he could actually dominate in that defensive tackle role in a 4-3.
Yeah, he's really interesting, and I wasn't so surprised that Taven Bryan went where he did at all, to be quite honest with you, but I think I was surprised that Maurice Hurst wasn't somewhere within, you know, the sphere of him within a couple picks. Chris, what does the backfield in the Indianapolis Colts backfield look like with Darius Geis and Marlon Mack?
Oh, well, I think it looks nasty is what it looks like. And I think Frank Reich would be very excited. And I think if you give a guy like Geis the ball and then have the opportunity to bring Mack in as that change of pace back, that can really just break things open. I think that's the kind of thing that you can really keep Andrew from having to make these long drops and, you know, play hero ball where he's got to get, you know, the Colts bailed out of bad situations. I mean, if you have the guy who can come in and run the ball up the middle, play well in the passing game, and then you can bring Marlon Mack in and break off 25-yard, you know, outside runs or little dump passes or things like that, that's where you really start to see the ability to change the offense from being reliant on Andrew to being more balanced. Mm-hmm. And those kind of running attacks open up big things for T.Y. in the deep passing game and for Eric Ebron. And, you know, we haven't had a balanced running game in a long time. It sort of seemed like an under with Gore, Pagano, you know, kind of ran the ball to him frequently, but that didn't necessarily make it balanced. It was just stupid.
Right.
And so I think that opportunity to have a, you know, kind of premier back, we haven't seen it in a while. And I think Mac, I mean, I've kind of been on the record saying, I think Mac is going to have kind of a breakout year anyway, because
mm-hmm.
he was badly used. And we've read a lot of data that shows that he just kind of had things set up, you know, against him with the way that the play calling went and the fact that nobody was afraid of Brissett and all that last season. So
right.
I think that we could plan to see him be better even if nothing else changed, even if there was not another back drafted. But if you have two backs that are a threat, they could be pretty unpleasant for defenses to deal with, and they'll need everything they can get, because Jacksonville is apparently going to just draft every defensive player forever.
They're just going to keep doing it forever and ever. Andrew, like you mentioned, you know, if you want to just fix the offensive line, let's just go all in, man. They used to talk about Quentin Nelson as though that he was a guard simply because they just had other guys who could play tackle at Notre Dame, that he was more than capable of stepping out and doing it. For whatever it's worth, that was the conversation. And Will Hernandez is sitting here on the board. If they get him, would they? Do you think that they would be willing to move him in maybe at guard and then maybe tinker with Nelson at right tackle to kind of shore up what they've got on that offensive line, or no?
I'm going to say no, because – and Frank Reich, I believe you have to rewatch it, but what I saw, they were talking about his pulling, like his pulling ability and how
he has great instincts,
you know, in the open field. And he just reminds me of David DeCastro. And DeCastro's best trait is his ability to pull as a guard. Mm-hmm. And that's a very valuable skill, and the Eagles used it a ton last year. So I think having him at left guard is perfect. And Hernandez is kind of like the opposite of Nelson, where he's more like a phone booth type guy. He's not going to do much in the open space, but you know, in man blocking system, he'll kill you. Mm-hmm. So I think they would actually complement each other really well. I don't think you need to move Nelson out to tackle. I think if anything, you can move Muir to tackle because he actually has experience there. Mm-hmm. He played it at Ohio State. So if anybody, I think you probably move Muir out there.
That makes sense.
Or Haig.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if we get a guy, if one of those three picks in the second round is an offensive lineman, I think the Colts O-line is starting to look really good.
Right. Well, they've still got Connor Williams there, but they've even got him kind of as a tweener, you know, as far as guard and tackle. But I don't think that he just seems too lanky for me to be a guard.
Yeah, it's – well, we're hearing tonight that I think size when it comes to offensive linemen is starting to become like an overrated thing, because we're seeing tonight Isaiah Wynn's not even 6'3". You know, he's like perfect guard size, and they're going to play him at left tackle this year. So I don't know. I just see the traits that he has, irregardless of his size, are perfectly set for a guard.
Right.
And I think Newhart's a better pick. And ideally, I mean, I'd love to see Hernandez on the team. You go Hernandez, Landry, and then Anthony Miller at 49. I mean, like, and it's possible. Yeah. Don't tell me it's not possible. No. That's possible.
It is. It's
so, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty.
And I had a quick question. Do you think that's possible?
Yes, sir.
Steven. Being himself over here. So
normally it's just Matt and I talking on these things. I don't normally get to mess with all the rest of you guys.
So there's
right, Canadian jokes yet, Steve. What's going on? You're lagging.
Oh man. So
I'll leave it.
So let's see. Okay, so who's the bang the table guy then for you, Steven?
For Harold Landry.
36. Andrew.
Harold Landry.
Chris?
I wanted to trade back and take him at 12, so Harold Landry is definitely my pick as well.
Yeah. It's hard for me not to be Harold Landry because he adds so much for what he does. He is absolute just – I mean, he's so good at getting upfield and getting to the passer. He is so good at it, and that's his one thing. That can be his one thing for this year. We talked about this as far as maybe the Colts get a developmental guy on the edge with what they've done with John Simon now, Terrell Basham, Jabal Sheard. Things we expected about Basham and Sheard, not so much about Simon. We just kind of didn't know. We expected it was going to be something, but him as an outside linebacker in that 4-3 kind of seemed a little weird just because he doesn't have the speed for it, I don't think, at this point right now. So, I mean, if we're going to go Harold Landry, I'm all in, right? I have no problem with that at all. My thing is I want to go defense so bad, but Darius Geis is sitting there staring at me in the face like, and that to me, that sexy backfield, I spent all my time arguing away from taking Saquon Barkley if he was there at 6, right? And everybody's like, oh, you got to take the guy who's got the best upside, blah, 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 in the draft and everything. And now I'm sitting here pining over Darius Geis at the top of the second just because I'm an idiot. So
There are some people that actually thought Geis might actually go in the top 15.
Right. You know,
out here in Washington, in the Northern Virginia area, that was a big, big rumor that the Redskins were interested in Geis at 13 and would seriously consider taking him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the crazy thing is that legitimately, if the board falls right for the Colts, and you know, I know we're getting our hopes up for Harold Landry. Who knows what Cleveland's going to do with 33 and 35. You know, they could take
Harold Landry,
you know, an offensive tackle. They could take Landry. They could take Geis. You know, they didn't get their running back. They went quarterback and cornerback, which is a little bit surprising to take Denzel Ward there. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. But the thing is, you don't want to get your hopes up too high, but at the same time, goodness, the Ballard could end up pulling, you know, the best offensive guard, the best speed rusher, one of the best three technique defensive tackles, I know Anthony Miller is one of Andrew's top wide receivers. It's actually a lot of our top wide receivers. I want to say Jake had him as a top wide receiver as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Chris Ballard could hit another home run in the draft. You know, he already hit a pretty big shot right here with that trade with the New York Jets. You know, at the time you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe he should have waited. You know, it's still great value for it, but, you know, maybe he could have pulled out a little more. As we know, as we saw today, those trades weren't coming.
Right. Not what they wanted for it anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Like, that compensation wasn't quite what Ballard was looking for. Like, all the trades today were pretty close, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't anything too crazy over value.
Right. And I'm all for it. He wasn't going to get it back. I think he made the right decision. So, I mean, Ballard did speak after picking Quentin Nelson. Good pick. We're all pretty much in agreement with that. He was the only NFL general manager to attend Notre Dame's pro day in late March. OneFootDown.com, SB Nation's site for Notre Dame football, I believe. He ended up saying, so excited about Quentin Nelson. We had thought that he was the best offensive lineman in the draft. He's got everything we want in terms of character, work ethic, toughness, passion for the game, and is going to be great for this team and great for the city of Indianapolis. So we're extremely excited to get him. He, you know, is gushing over him, and I don't blame him. You know, this is one of those picks, guys, where we're the ones having the non-sexy picks right now. It was the Titans with some of their guys over the past couple years, made a lot of sense, made big strides for them up front, despite their, you know, quarterback not being able to kind of, you know, keep himself healthy either. But the good thing about the non-sexy pick in the first round is that the Colts have every option still on the board here to go. They haven't closed anything out. Chris Ballard looks as though he's going to continue to take the same approach that he's taken forever. You take the best available talent on the board. He definitely did that, and he's going to move on. So the fun part here is Chris Ballard going to, like, break records at every time the Colts draft? Chris, do you think that he's going to be trying to beat his time from the Quentin Nelson pick with the next one, try to get it up there with, like, only a minute and a half off the clock?
Maybe he's going to do, like, that media guy 40 time where they actually have it's just going to be, like, the general manager sprinting up to the podium. That's how the next one's going to be. It's going to cut to Lucas Oil Stadium, and Ballard is going to be in the blocks ready to run his 40 with the card to the other end and hand it to the orangutan, and he's going to hand it to Mike Mayock.
You just reminded me of something, too. What do we know what animal is going to pick for the Colts in what round this year? Because there is one, and I don't remember what it is. Anybody? I heard it.
I don't know. I know that there's supposed to be a parrot picking for somebody, but
Tampa Bay, I think. Ugh.
I feel like everybody basically is just doing this to troll Mike Mayock. I think the NFL just realized how funny it was that it annoyed him and decided to just, like, get everybody on board. So I don't know.
But at least the parrot kind of makes sense. I mean, because they're the Buccaneers and they have parrots on their shoulders and stuff. So
yeah,
like, I get the parrot. Like, the orangutan, I didn't understand. Like, the Indianapolis isn't really known for.
But the orangutan did pick Malik Hooker, right? Isn't that who he picked?
No, the orangutan took
Marlon Mack, I believe.
Was it a banner?
Was it Mack?
Yeah, it was banner. It was like it was all the picks in the fourth round.
It was
right?
More than one.
What it was a fourth round picks?
Bringing a monkey.
Ugh.
All right.
Well, the reason was because the Indianapolis Zoo had just gotten an orangutan exhibit, so they were being all city of Indianapolis friendly and everything. But nobody told Mike Mayock, and he was not about it.
No, he wasn't. Maybe that's why they let the parrot leak out in advance.
Right.
Give
him time to prepare.
It's kind of like how the Browns, like, kept everybody guessing all the way up until, like, today that they were taking Mayfield. So then, like, the fans could take that time and get excited about it. And then when it came, it wasn't a big surprise because everybody had already had time to digest it. Maybe that's what the NFL Network is hoping to do with Mike Mayock and the parrot.
Yeah.
This conversation digressed very quickly.
Quickly. That's all right, though, too, because that's what we're here for, right? To digress most of the time and make ourselves look foolish, but that's why everybody loves us. So we're going to accept it, and we're going to continue to do that.
Is that the right word, digress?
Yeah. Something to ponder, Stephen. So the Colts really just kind of find themselves in a great spot. I think a lot of teams find themselves in a great spot, to be quite honest with you. And the kicker for me is that Cleveland is going to be picking twice in the top three in this draft. The Colts and the Browns really just kind of own the first five picks of this draft. Look, we're in this situation again. It wasn't just with number six. I mean, but do the Colts trade out one of these picks, or do you just take your sweet time and turn in back-to-back cards here?
I think Ballard's taking those picks. I don't think he's trading back.
Not even one, not even to grab something else in the back end of the fourth or even the third. Because they're going to come.
I'm with Chris on this.
It's not going to be major trade offers, but they're going to come. Back-to-back picks, you're going
to
get.
Some of the trade offers were weird today. Did you see the trade offer that the Cardinals made to the Raiders to move up? They offered them a third and a fifth to move up five picks in the first round. So, you know what? Who the hell knows what that team's going to offer? Some team might really love a guy like, let's say, Isaiah Oliver keeps dropping, and they were. It all depends on the player. If one team just needs to fall in love with one guy,
yeah,
you know, and I don't know. I just don't know what to expect with these trades, because there are some where it's like, wow, that's a good value for the team that's trading down, and then you get a trade like the Cardinals and the Raiders, where you're like, what the hell's the point in doing that? You know,
I want to keep as many picks inside the top 50 as I can, and I think that I might be willing to trade back a little bit later in the draft, but I really want to use those top 50 picks, and I don't know that Ballard feels the same, but that'd be my perspective on it.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Well,
considering the value that's there, it's definitely worth keeping those picks, mm-hmm, instead of, you know, just keep dropping and dropping and dropping when there's less and less value, obviously. So I agree with that for sure.
Right. Yeah. I'm definitely not going to say that it doesn't make sense to do either one, because I would take either situation, to be quite honest with you. It does make sense to stand pat and stay there and take your sweet time with two different picks right in a row. You know, you've got another pick midway through the same round. You've got a lot of ammunition there. If somebody comes up, man, I just, like I said, I'm thinking that, considering the term blown away, the value of where the Colts stand right now, it's different. Blown away could be two picks. You know what I mean? And nothing's fantastic as far as, you know, another second or another third. It just depends. But the fact of that remains is that the Colts are in a place of advantage right now, or in a spot with an advantage right now. The Colts hold three picks coming into the second round right now, and the Colts have they've still got another third round pick. So the Colts in day two are going to be extra busy. It's going to be, I think, more exciting. It was almost it almost just took me back at how quickly the Colts day was over, because I totally expected something else to happen, whether it was the Colts traded back and did something later on, but I expected heavy movement, you know, I mean, kind of like, what was it? The Packers did, went back and then came back up and picked. I thought that was more along the lines of what Ballard might be trying to do. You know, use an extra pick, come back and gain a little, another one a little further back, but one way or another to kind of maneuver himself to get the guys he wanted on the board in the top 20 of the first round. So I think it's pretty apparent that most of us are pretty shocked that Harold Landry is there. I just feel like that's not in the cards for some reason. I would be ecstatic if Harold Landry came to the Colts, but I just don't feel like that's in the cards. I almost feel like we're going to be underwhelmed, because it's just going to be kind of those, oh, who was that?
Because your expectations too high.
Yeah, I don't mean like by like being the best guy that everybody sees on the board. I just think it's going to be a surprise maybe position. Or something like that, like a safety. You know, maybe he goes, he decides to get Reed or something like that, you know, and that's not a bad pick necessarily, but kind of like Steven, like we were talking, you know, with the safeties, it's just not something that seems like it's necessary right now, even if it is, you know, of high talent. So I just feel like there's going to be that point where we're all just going to be rubbing our hands together. Is it a running back? Is it Landry? Is it Hurst? Who is it? You know,
it's another guard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You know,
I still like it, but all right, right. I'll take it.
Very less sexy. Very much. Very, very less sexy than a guy who's going to supposedly at least be expected to get upwards of 10 sacks a game. So, Chris, what are your kind of parting shots here for round one? Thoughts on the day in general, the Colts, and what are your hopes for the second day in the draft overall?
Well, my absolute favorite player in the entire draft got drafted by the worst team in the world, and that was Sony Michel to the Patriots. That might have ruined the night for me. Yeah. I don't want any good things to ever happen to the Patriots, and I don't want to wish ill on Sony Michel. But you know, I'm all in on the I'm rooting for bone on bone, whatever that is. I'm rooting for it. I hope he has a very successful after football career. And only good things for him.
You're gonna buy his book.
That's right. But maybe he'll have a tell-all on Tom Brady as the and the organizational implosion that he sees firsthand or something like that. But anyhow, I'm not quite over that just yet. But yeah, I really do. I think the Colts are in a really good position. And I think no matter, kind of like they were this going into this round, there's really not a wrong move short of drafting somebody crazy who's, you know, they've got way overvalued or something. I think whatever moves they make, if they pick a wide receiver, if they pick, you know, a D lineman or an edge guy or a linebacker, they're going to fill a hole. They're going to be, as long as they're picking somebody who's a good fit, mm-hmm. they're going to be in good shape. And so they have, three opportunities in the second round to do that. So I'm excited. I think good things are coming tomorrow. It's going to be a little bit more, like you said, a little bit more active. And I think you may be right. Ballard may be a little more active because he's outside that realm of those eight premium players. And so, you might get a little bit more willingness to move since you're not giving up on, you know, a major guy. But maybe there is somebody there who he may be looking at Maurice Hurst and going, man, I never thought this guy would be here. He's mine.
Yeah, I think you've got to be drooling if Maurice Hurst is there. I mean, and I think that it's more than likely almost that he will be. But man, could you imagine that front in Cleveland with Maurice Hurst? Or yeah, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it anywhere except for the Colts. So Andrew, same line of thought here, man. What's your takeaway from the day? What's your expectations and such for tomorrow?
Well, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I wanted Anthony Miller as my, you know, bang the table type pick over in Landry. I was thinking about that Calvin Ridley pick that the Falcons had today. You know, they have three great receivers, Julio, obviously, Sanu and Hardy, and they still picked a guy like Ridley, which I thought was a great pick to complement Jones. Now, the Colts are not in the same position as the Falcons, but I just love that pick to complement an already great receiver. They weren't afraid to go out and get that type of pick. So I was thinking a receiver – like Miller to compliment T.Y. would be perfect in the second round. In terms of how today went, I mean, like I said earlier, like the quarterbacks, you know, there's still some good quarterbacks out there too, like Lauletta and Rudolph. So there might still be some great value going into the third round too. Mm-hmm. So I just think if it were up to me, I would stand pat unless a great offer comes along and just take the value. And just go based on their board. Don't need to reach. Like I said before, you have a bunch of positions of need still, even with Nelson. They can go guard again. So just follow your board. I mean, we've seen the teams that follow their board. They sometimes draft players that aren't necessarily a perfect fit, but they end up having an impact on that team later down the line. So if it is a safety, giddy up. Go with safety. You can go any different direction. And go with the value. So with that line of thought, they should stick where they are. I'm happy with the first round. Obviously, Nelson was great. Some really weird picks in the teens. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that too. Just the Colton Miller pick was really weird with, you know, such a weird pick. Davenport was really weird. And this last thing I'll say with Landry and his potential medical concerns is – the one thing that we as writers or any fan or anybody not an NFL organization, the disadvantage we don't have is the inside information on the medicals and all that stuff. So if a team does make a pick, if the Colts do pick Landry, I would have to think that their doctors and their medical guys did a thorough check on him and gave him the thumbs up. And I would think most teams would do that. Mm. So, you know, we saw with Jalen Smith with the Cowboys, they did their research and he's going to be an impact player. He was last year. So that's how I feel with the medicals and all that. But overall, I'm happy. And the Colts are in a great position. I think the Colts are in a better position than literally just about any team, except maybe Cleveland.
Yeah.
They got picks lined up here with value players off the board. And they just got maybe the best player in the entire draft in the first round at six.
Right.
And they traded down from three and they got the best player in the draft. Like, that's a hell of a good start. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm just really happy with how everything's lined up so far, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. Could get crazy. Could get crazy.
Yep, I agree. Steven, are you as optimistic as we are?
Well, I mean, you guys are pretty optimistic. So I'm not sure I can meet that level of optimism, but I feel like I'm relatively close to it. I think this first round for the Colts is – it was pretty great. I think we were all kind of holding our breath there with Denver at pick five. And you saw a story come across that Denver actually had a deal in place with Buffalo for five. But then when Chubb was there, they decided to pop out of it and take Chubb instead. But, you know, the addition of Quentin Nelson makes so much sense on so many levels. And so you can't fault that. You know, one thing that I will say that was pretty obvious to me in round one was how excited I was that Jim Irsay did not throw the bank at John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he moved back five spots in Arizona and took a third round and a fifth round pick. I think Philadelphia might've gotten more in compensation to move back from like 31 to 52 or whatever it was. Like the fact that they only gave up like a handful of picks to get up from 15 to 10, knowing that they're going to take a quarterback, blew my mind. And then that trade for Bryant in the middle of the Martavis Bryant in the middle of the draft for a round three pick.
Oh yeah.
The dude's in the drug program. Like if he gets busted one more time, he's done for like a year, I think.
Yep.
And he's in Oakland.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say? He smoked, I hope.
He said he's in year. Oakland.
No. And then you got the back end of the draft where like you saw players that were, it was surprising that they went where they did. Like, you know, for example, obviously we've talked about the Rashad Penny move. Like I like Rashad Penny. I didn't like him at the end of round one. You know, I feel like Darius Geis would have been a better option there for Seattle. Like on so many levels, I think he would have been a better option for Seattle. You know, the Terrell Edmonds just blew my mind, but it's like they're
it
just
was
like,
crazy.
Oh, look, the Raiders took Miller at 15. Oh, here, hold my beer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Rashad Penny at 27. Oh, really? I'm going to take, you know, Terrell Edmonds at 28.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like playing games of one-upping each other. One thing I was excited though is that New England did not take Harold Landry or Lamar Jackson because I did not want them to have either of those players because I don't like New England. In terms of Stan and Pat for the second round, I think that they'll probably stand pat unless they get a good offer and they only move back a couple spots because there's a lot of good value still here on the board. I think Ballard will just take his picks.
Yeah.
And unless he gets blown away by an offer and is able to pick up an extra, say, you know, an extra third round to move back a couple spots in the second, beyond that, I don't think he moves much.
Yeah. And I'd be torn as well because it depends on how far he would be moving back. And when you, like I said, those back-to-back picks, those just seem even more valuable there because you really control who's in which pick. I mean, it's not a great big difference in salary slot, you know, or anything like that, but it kind of makes a little bit of sense there. So you've got some options without question.
Mute.
So interesting that the Colts find themselves in this position. Great that they got themselves the best offensive lineman or widely considered the best offensive lineman in this draft and possibly one of the best talents, if not the best talent in this draft as well. Day two, we are going to be coming live from Metazoa Brewery, 140 South College Avenue in Indianapolis. You guys need to come down there and hang out with us. We're going to be going live at 6:30, recapping a little bit of what we saw tonight as well, and then we'll get ourselves ready for rounds two and three. It's going to be an interesting night. Jake, myself, Brett, and Jared will all be there live, so we're going to be all set up. Come down and join us. Great people at Metazoa will be down there for the entirety of the second and third round. So that's about all we got for you tonight. A little bit of instant reaction, just about it. I mean, we've established clearly, I think all of us have said, that there's a ton of value still left on this board. Some interesting and exciting players are still available here for the Colts to really make a splash, I think, with their second round picks and even their third round pick. You know, Ballard has a pretty amazing option to either get great value up here, trade back, get more value later. I mean, it just kind of depends on how he sees everybody on the board. And we've pretty much been down that road with Ballard all the time. It really depends on what he's doing. So, Chris, Andrew, and Steven, thank you guys for joining me tonight. Thank you guys all for watching. It was a good time. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow live at the day two live draft show on the ColtsCast. So come join us or watch here on YouTube. We'll be here. So thank you guys all for coming, and we'll see you next time right here on the ColtsCast. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out. Yeah. Stampede Blue.